reversals away from extremistan. There is, inevitably, a mounting tension between our society, full of concentration, and our classical idea of aurea mediocritas, the golden mean. So it's conceivable that efforts may be made to reverse such concentration. We live in a society of one person, one vote, where progressive taxes have been enacted precisely to weaken the winners. Indeed, the rules of society can be easily rewritten by those at the bottom of the pyramid to prevent concentration from hurting them. But it doesn't require voting to do so. Religion could soften the problem. Consider that before Christianity, in many societies, the powerful had many wives, thus preventing those at the bottom from accessing wombs, a condition that is not too different from the reproductive exclusivity of alpha males in many species. But Christianity reversed this, thanks to the one-man, one-woman rule. Later, Islam came to limit the number of wives to four. Judaism, which had been polygenic, became monogamous in the Middle Ages. One can say that such a strategy has been successful. The institution of tightly monogamous marriage, with no official concubine as in the Greco-Roman days, even when practiced the French way, provides social stability, since there's no pool of angry, sexually deprived men at the bottom fomenting a revolution just so they can have the chance to mate. But I find the emphasis on economic inequality at the expense of other types of inequality extremely bothersome. Fairness is not exclusively an economic matter. It becomes less and less so when we're satisfying our basic material needs. It's pecking order that matters. The superstars will always be there. The Soviets may have flattened the economic structure, but they encouraged their own brand of ubermensch. What is poorly understood or denied, owing to its unsettling implications, is the absence of a role for the average in intellectual production. The disproportionate share of the very few in intellectual influence is even more unsettling than the unequal distribution of wealth. Unsettling because, unlike the income gap, no social policy can eliminate it. Communism could conceal or compress income discrepancies, but it couldn't eliminate the superstar system in intellectual life. It has even been shown by Michael Marmot of the Whitehall Studies that those at the top of the pecking order live longer, even when adjusting for disease. Marmot's impressive project shows how social rank alone can affect longevity. It was calculated that actors who win an Oscar tend to live on average about 5 years longer than their peers who don't. People live longer in societies that have flatter social gradients. Winners kill their peers as those in a steep social gradient live shorter lives, regardless of their economic condition. I don't know how to remedy this, except through religious beliefs. Is insurance against your peers' demoralizing success possible? Should the Nobel Prize be banned? Granted, the Nobel Medal in economics hasn't been good for society or knowledge, but even those rewarded for real contributions in medicine and physics too rapidly displace others from our consciousness and steal longevity away from them. Extremistan is here to stay, so we have to live with it and find the tricks that make it more palatable.